Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
It's awesome that on this 4th of July weekend, you're here. Hey. All right. I'm glad you're here. We are now on week 3 of our series, Ready for Battle. And we're talking about the armor of God. The Bible says that we need to put on the armor of God. And so we're learning how to do this. Now, whether you realize it or not, you are in a real battle, and your enemy is also very real. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that our battle is not a physical one, but a spiritual one. It's a spiritual battle against forces that are trying to destroy your mind, your body, your relationships, your family, and your church. The good news is that we have been promised victory ahead of time. Okay, nobody said amen to that, but we've been promised victory ahead of time. But this doesn't mean that it's going to come automatically. What it means is that we must still fight the battle. You don't just get the victory, you must gain the victory. It has been promised, but you have to obtain it. Are you with me today? Yes. Now, we fight for this promised victory with a spiritual armor, the armor that God has provided. Look at what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. Put on. Somebody say with me, put on.
Put on.
Now, this is a command. Put it on. Why? Because you can also choose not to put it on. Right? You can choose to put it on, or you can choose not to put it on. But if you put it on, then you're going to be able to stand against the devil's schemes, or like the King James Version says, the wiles of the devil. Let's review the two pieces of armor we've already covered. Now, week one, we learned how to put on the belt of truth. And Satan is the father of lies. Therefore, the only way to defeat a lie is with the truth. Now, isn't it great to know that lies can be defeated? And the way you defeat lies is with the truth. Week two, we learned how to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the enemy loves to come to attack your heart. He does this because the fountains of your life flow from your heart. And so if he can take your heart, he can control a large part of your life. Are you with me so far? But the righteousness of Christ protects our heart from guilt, from shame, and from compromise. Now today, we're going to look at the third piece of armor found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. But I want to begin reading at verse 10, because I always want to start with a context, so that you can see the bigger picture. This is what the Bible says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In the middle of this text, it says, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Now, Byron was mentioning some of the things that are going on around us. It's no secret what's going on in L.A. It's no secret what is going on in Congress. And it's no secret some of the calamities and some of the wars that are going on around our world and some things that are happening. The evil days will come. The question is not whether or not evil days will come, but the question is, what are we going to do when evil days come? Things are going to happen around you. Sorry, I don't want to scare you, but we are not going to, you know, go through life unscathed. There's going to be issues. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be difficulty. This is why God has given us an armor, so that in the evil days, in the difficult times of life, we will be able to stand. And we will be able to stand firm. The English Standard Version says it this way. It says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Now you may be wondering, what do shoes have to do with spiritual warfare? And the reality is that they have everything to do with spiritual warfare. In fact, I don't know that you can have spiritual warfare without having this part of the armor well fitted. Now, another one of the enemy's strategies is to attack you with fear, anxiety, and instability. We have a lot of that going on right now. And we need to understand how we're going to attack it. I did a couple of shorts this last week, and I'm going to tell you, we've had so many different people respond to those. I didn't realize how much response we were going to get from those. And that just tells you the amount of fear and anxiety that people are feeling these days. You see, if the devil can't deceive you with lies, and if he can discourage you and condemn you by attacking your heart, then he'll try to unsettle you, to keep you anxious, ungrounded, and in chaos. But God has given you a piece of armor to help you stand against and defeat the schemes of the enemy. And what he has given you is his peace. I said his peace. Peace is more than a feeling. It's something you put on. It's something you walk in. It's something you carry with you into battle. Now, today I want to look at the power of peace in the midst of battle. And there's three things that I want you to know. First, that peace is powerful in battle because, number one, peace fights for you. Peace fights for you. Now, when we think of peace, we usually think of calm, stillness, quiet, you know, no noise, no chaos, no pressure. Probably you're imagining, you know, a quiet beach, if that exists here in LA. You can't probably find one. Maybe a spa where you're relaxed and just, you know, being pampered. Or maybe a room without kids. For some of us, that would be awesome. When Paul talks about peace, though, in this passage, he isn't talking about a vacation. He is talking about the battlefield. Now, how can you equate peace and a battlefield? You would think those two things don't go together. You would say, wait a minute, how can you have peace when things are happening, when there's warfare, where there's weapons, where there's a lot of noise? How can this happen? You see, when Paul talks about that, he's talking about how we can have this peace. Now, Paul says that peace is part of your armor. Why? Because peace is more than a feeling. It's a weapon. I said, peace is a weapon. It's a weapon against fear. It's a weapon against confusion. It's a weapon against chaos. You see, fear will come knocking at your door. In fact, fear comes knocking at our door all the time. You start getting a pain somewhere and you say, "Ooh, I wonder what that is." And then fear comes in. My grandma died because she had a pain like this, you know, and all of a sudden you start to worry, right? You see the economy. Oh, what's going to happen to me? You know, you hear about people losing their jobs and immediately fear, am I going to lose my job? What would happen if I lose my job? And all of a sudden fear comes knocking on your door. What do you do with it? You see, many of us don't know, but peace is the answer. Peace is going to defeat fear and confusion in your life. Look at what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "And the peace of God, which transcends understanding." I love that. It transcends understanding. I mean, it goes beyond understanding. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This peace of God goes beyond whatever trouble you're going through. Now, the word guard here in the Greek is a military word. It means to stand guard like a soldier, to watch over and protect something valuable. That's what it means to guard. It will protect you. It's like having a guard that keeps evil from coming in. Are you with me? That's what that word is. And the peace of God will set a guard against the attacks of the enemy. That's awesome. That is awesome. You see, peace is just not just tranquility. Peace is having a guard that will protect you. It will protect you against fear. It will protect you against turmoil. When the devil throws anxiety, pressures your way, God's peace doesn't just comfort you. It actually defends you. It protects you. It doesn't just soothe you. It shields you. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. And peace is powerful. And when you begin to realize that God's peace is more than tranquility, you begin to realize that the peace of God is more useful to you than whatever you imagined in the past. Because peace now becomes part of God's armor, and it becomes a weapon in my arsenal that I can utilize to be able to live a victorious life. Amen. Second, peace is powerful in battle because peace anchors me. It anchors me. Now, we've seen that peace is a weapon, but peace is also an anchor. Now, it holds you steady when everything around you is chaotic. But there's a key. Here's the key. Peace doesn't come from circumstances. It comes from the gospel. We think peace is going to come with all these problems go away, then I'll be at peace. Oh, when everything goes my way, then I'll be at peace. Oh, when I'm over in Puerto Vallarta, you know, I'll be at peace. When vacation comes, I'll be at peace. Oh, when I can get away from those people, I'll be at peace. But you know what? That's not what the Bible says. Peace doesn't come from favorable circumstances. Peace comes from the gospel. Let's go back to the words of Paul in Ephesians 6:15. "As shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." Now, the Roman soldiers' shoes were on tight. Now, they didn't have boots like in the military today. It was probably more like sandals, right? But they would tie them up and they would make sure they were fitted to them, because it was really important for these soldiers to have these shoes on tight. Because slippery shoes could mean death during hand-to-hand battle. Now, some shoes even had nails on the soles to prevent slipping and for marching over the enemy. Now, for us, those shoes are the gospel of peace. The peace that protects you, your footing, the peace that anchors you in chaos, doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from good vibes or positive thinking, nor from a spa day or a playlist of all your favorite songs or some motivational quote that you receive on your Instagram feed. It comes from the good news of Jesus Christ. True peace comes from a blood-stained cross and an empty grave. That's where peace comes from. Look at what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace comes when you have been justified. Now, justification means this. It means that you are no longer guilty before God. You are declared righteous by faith in Jesus. And it is because when you receive God's love and you receive God's gift of forgiveness that you have peace. Because now you don't have to be worried about what God thinks about you. Now you know what God thinks about you. He thinks about you like He thinks about Jesus. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because you are right with God, you can be at peace. Even when life is not right around you. When you know you're right with God through Jesus Christ, you can walk through any storm with peace. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story about Jesus going through a storm. And you may remember the story. I'm not going to go through it. But in this story, we find Jesus sleeping in a boat during a raging storm. Now, I've often thought about the fact that, you know, how could he be asleep when there's a raging storm? Nevertheless, the Bible says he was asleep. He must have been real tired. Now, the disciples were panicking. And they began to tell Jesus, don't you care that we're going to drown? But Jesus kept on sleeping. He wasn't sleeping because the storm wasn't real. No, he slept because his heart was anchored in the Father. He knew who he belonged to. He knew who was in control ultimately. And he knew the storm didn't have the final say. That's the gospel of peace. Not the absence of trouble, but the presence of Jesus. The presence of trust. Now, you can be in a war zone, but still be at peace. You can be in spiritual turmoil and still be anchored by peace. You can walk through loss, betrayal, and financial hardship, and still have peace. I've done a bit of funerals in my ministry life. Quite a few of them, more than I would like. And I've seen both families with peace and families without peace. And I want to tell you that families that know Jesus Christ and they have a deep relationship with Him, usually are at peace. And it's not that it doesn't hurt that their loved one died. And it's not that they're not going through pain. It's that they have Jesus to give them strength. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I've done funerals for families that don't have Jesus Christ in their life. And I want to tell you, they're broken. And it's like they're wailing and they're allowing pain to destroy them. And you see it before your eyes. And you say, how could it be? Two different reactions to the same circumstance. And the difference is called Jesus. Jesus makes all the difference. Are you with me? Amen. Now I want you to realize something. And I want you to go deeper than that. Because Jesus said in Ephesians 2:14, for He Himself is our peace. Jesus is peace. If you have Jesus, you have peace. When Jesus is present, peace is present. That's why even in a storm, Jesus could sleep because He had peace. Now that's why the disciples panicked. They forgot that peace was in the boat. Are you panicking today? Are you worried? Are you losing sleep at night? You have to remember that when we forget that He is in control, that He is in my life, that He is in control of my life and my family, then I am at peace because I know that somehow God is going to get me through. Amen. The devil wants to trouble your mind so that you forget Jesus is in the boat with you. To put on peace is to remember Jesus is in my situation. Jesus is in my marriage. Jesus is in my job. Jesus is in my church. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus, when I have Jesus, then I have His peace. And I can rest in that. And if He's not panicking, then neither should I. The interesting thing about peace is that we must preach this sermon to ourselves daily. In a spiritual battle, the enemy's strategy is to make you doubt God's love, your salvation, your self-worth, your calling, etc. He wants you to be emotionally unstable and spiritually insecure. That's why peace must be anchored in an unchanging truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When everything else shakes, the gospel stays the same. It does not change. God's promises don't change. They're always yes and amen. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. God's promises are yes and amen. Are you with me? It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. God's promises will be fulfilled. And it doesn't matter what the world around us says. God's promises are yes and amen. Jesus died for me. And Jesus rose from the dead for me. Jesus is coming back for me. That's a fact. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is coming back soon. And I see more stuff on the news today, and I'm going, oh boy, Jesus is just around the corner. He really is. And some of you are afraid of that, but I'm looking forward to that. Because when He comes, I'm going. That's my deal. When He comes, I'm going. And if you don't have that, you'll be afraid. Oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is that if Jesus comes, I'm going. I'm going with Him. Right? And that gives me enormous peace. Well, what's going to happen? Well, I don't know what's going to happen exactly. I do know this, that Jesus is going to come for His church. And He's going to come for you. Because the church is the bride of Christ. I know this. I have been forgiven. I am accepted. And I am secure in Christ. That's the gospel. Let me read it to you again. I am forgiven. I am accepted. And I am secure in Christ. That's the gospel. That's my surety and that's my peace. Are you with me? That it doesn't matter. Well, what if they kill you? Well, I'm going with Jesus. If He comes, I'm going with Jesus. Well, what if something happens to you? Well, He's going to provide for me. Because He said He's my provider. What if you get sick? Well, He said He's my healer, so I'm going to trust in His healing for me. Well, what if? It doesn't matter what if. If He wants to do it, He'll do it here. If not, He's going to take me to heaven. Because He will be with me. Amen? Hallelujah. So you have to speak that truth, that gospel to yourself every day. I'm not at peace because life is perfect. I'm at peace because I've been saved. Life, I got news for you. Life will never be perfect. Hey. Your spouse, never perfect. Right? Hey, wait. Your church will never be perfect. Hey. Your ministry, never perfect. Right? Never. Your pastor never will be perfect. Nobody is perfect. The only perfect one here is Jesus Christ. And so we trust in Him. Amen? So we trust in Him. And that's what gives me peace. And the third thing, peace is powerful in battle because peace moves you forward. Peace allows for mobility. Now, we've seen that peace is a weapon and it's also an anchor. But there's one more thing. Peace moves you forward. Now, once again, look at what Paul says in Ephesians 6:15. It says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, notice the language. Your feet aren't just fitted, they're ready. Peace doesn't just protect your stance, it makes you makes advancement possible. Now, a soldier can advance barefoot. Can you imagine a soldier going into battle without shoes? Every rock, thorn, or sharp edge becomes a danger. Every step is cautious, hesitant, and painful. You can't go into battle without shoes. When you are fighting, normally in the battlefield, we imagine that we're in this flat space. That's not usually what happens. There's hills, there's rocks, there's bushes, thorns, all kinds of things. And so when you are barefoot, you're cautious. Anybody here ever been walking in the beach when it's really hot? You ever see people skimping and running as fast as they can, right? Yeah, and you want to find peace somewhere. But a soldier fitted with the combat boots can march forward with confidence and direction. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. We think of peace as the thing that helps us stay calm. But in Scripture, peace also makes us ready to go. In fact, when you're at peace, you move forward. Yeah. When you're not at peace and when you're not confident, you don't move forward. Now, I love sports. I do. I've played most sports. I know nowadays I don't play anything, but I watched most of the stuff, right? But I know this, that in sports, if you hesitate, you lose. You can't hesitate. You can't. You just got to go for it, right? And so in battle, the same thing. You hesitate, you're going to get killed. In life, if you hesitate, you don't win. And so what happens is it's only when you have peace, when you feel secure, that you move forward in faith and you begin to fight the battle. Because according to the Bible, peace makes us ready to go. Peace gives you confidence to move forward in obedience. You see, we move in obedience not because life is perfect. We move in obedience because God said so. We move in obedience not because we have already figured it out. We move in obedience because the Lord has said that we need to move forward. And sometimes we don't have it figured out. Now, let me ask you a question. How many here have your life figured out? Nobody. So we need to move in faith, right? We don't have it all figured out, but we trust Jesus Christ. Peace gives you confidence. Too many believers are waiting for calm circumstances before they move. They want everything to be aligned before they take a step. But the reality is that you can't. True peace isn't the absence of conflict. It's the presence of assurance and confidence. Peace says, I don't have to understand everything to take the next step. Peace says, I may feel afraid, but I will not live in fear. Peace says, if God said so, I will go, even if the storms are still raging around me. Peace moves forward in obedience. And it moves forward in obedience to our mission. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace. Peace isn't just a state of mind. It's a motivation that moves you. It makes you ready to bring the good news. Peace isn't just for you. It's something you share with other people. God desires for every person to have peace with God so that they can receive the peace of God. You have peace with God in order to have the peace of God. Peace is your mission. Proclaim the gospel of peace. God doesn't give you peace just so you can feel better. He gives you peace so you can carry His presence, comfort,
and win the world around you with the message of Jesus. So wherever you go, workplace, your school, home, take peace with you. Peace shouldn't stop with you. It's supposed to flow through you. No better way for peace to flow through us than by sharing the gospel with people. So let me conclude today. Don't wait for perfect conditions to obey. God may call you to witness, to lead, to forgive, or to go. Let peace from the gospel lead you, not the conditions around you. Be a peacemaker in your relationships. This is a sermon in and of itself, and I'm not going to preach it this morning. But is there someone you've been avoiding? Is there a conflict you've been nursing? Is there a wound that's gone unaddressed? Don't just love peace, make peace. Be a peacemaker. The Bible says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Because what stops the church from moving forward is a lack of peace. When we're fighting and bickering about stuff, we're not advancing the gospel of Jesus. And we're not moving forward. So let's be peacemakers. Share the gospel. That's the ultimate message of peace. The world is aching for peace, but they won't find it in politics, therapy, or money. They will only find it in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. This week, ask God for an opportunity to share your testimony, to invite somebody to church, to speak hope over somebody's anxiety. When you share the gospel, you're not just standing in peace, you're moving in it. When your feet are covered with God's peace, you stand when others fall. You move when others freeze. And you bring calm when there's chaos. So this week, don't just look for peace. Walk in it. Live it out in your life. Close your eyes, please. The Lord Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." The peace you need, the peace that fights for you, the peace that anchors you, the peace that enables you to move forward, only God can give to you. That's why you need God in your life. If today you find yourself far from God, if you've never invited Jesus into your heart, then draw near to Him today. Receive Him into your heart today. If you do, He will come. He will forgive your sins. He will restore your life and give you the hope of heaven. And at the same time, He will give you His peace. If you want to do that today, I want to say this prayer. I'm going to ask everybody to repeat it out loud. For the benefit of those that today will do it for the first time, everybody repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. I recognize that I'm a sinner, but today I repent. I open my heart to you, and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. As your heads are bowed, eyes closed, I'd like to know if there's anyone today who said that prayer for the first time. If you did that, will you just raise your hand wherever you may be? Because I want to pray for you. Anybody? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, thank you for hands that are raised. I thank you, Lord, that salvation is here. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give them your peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Love you guys.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare Him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you. Transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.